these summer months into the deep into the summer, enjoy these days, and as people on vacations and coming and going, as you're taking those, just continue to remember our prayer list and continue to be praying. I want you to mention to you as well that to pray for the Champions for Life camp that's this week, and some of the workers from even our church and some kids. It's a kids camp. Pray for that camp during this week, and we trust that you'll remember them as they embark on this week. And then our student camp is in August of this year, of this next month, August the 12th through the 17th. If you've got teenagers, young people, please check that out and let them be a part of that. I do want to thank you as you're turning to Acts chapter 2. I want to thank you for everyone's help and cooperation with the picnic last week and with the outdoor service. I know we did some things a little bit different, and we learned some things. We'll make some tweaks, and we'll make sure that we continue to try to improve things as we minister. And the biggest thing I think we need to have ice cream in the ice cream truck. I mean, I'm just we spoke to them, and they're going to do right by us. But we do thank you for your cooperation and for your support. Acts chapter 2 is where our focus has been. Our current series is called Fresh. Say that with me. Fresh. Fresh. I told you I'm that guy that messes up the chip rack and reaches all the way to the back to get the best date. I'm the guy who messes up the milk cabinet or container in the store to get that freshest date, because I believe that I know in my life I want things fresh. And I trust that in our lives and even in our spiritual lives that we would want something fresh. And the burden and the premise of this series began with a stirring in my heart for something fresh. For something fresh from God, something real and relevant and revitalizing, not last year's touch or last year's experience with God, but something new and fresh in our lives. How many will agree that life has a way of getting stale and stuck, and things can become stagnant and even can sour in our lives? And that's why we need something fresh from God. And my prayer in this series is that every one of us would individually and then collectively, we would experience a fresh encounter, a life-changing encounter with God through Jesus Christ. So we began this series called Fresh, and we began on Pentecost Sunday back in May, and we began from Acts chapter 2, obviously the account of Pentecost. And we started out with talking about fresh wind. We looked at fresh fire. We looked at fresh wine. These were the three symbols that were present at the day of Pentecost. And those symbols give us understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And then a couple of weeks ago, Stephen spoke on fresh mind, the importance of renewing our minds by the Holy Spirit. And then last week in our outdoor service, I introduced our current message, Fresh Church. Say that with me, Fresh Church. And what we're doing is we're taking a fresh look at the church. How did God design his church that was birthed in Acts chapter 2? Because out of the day of Pentecost and out of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was birthed the church. And how did God design his church to be? And what kind of church does God want us to be? And so how many have these in your, everybody have one of these in your bulletin? We gave them to you last week. Come on, hold it up. Let me see if you got them. If you got them, you got them all over. Good. I want you to take this, and if you got one last week, then put one in your Bible, put one in your mirror. Keep these nearby, and we want you to get very familiar. And I want to remind us and reinforce us about the fresh church that God birthed on the day of Pentecost and how he wants us as a church to be even today, we looked at three things. There's fresh vision, say vision. Vision. There's fresh mission, say mission. Mission. And fresh passion. Those are the three aspects we introduced last week of fresh church. And there you see on the card that's in your bulletin that who we are vision is that we are, come on, read it with me, a spirit-filled community church. I'm just making sure you're with me, come on. Touching heaven and earth. That's taken from Acts 2. Peter stood up and he said, everybody said, what's all this? What's this wind? What's this fire? What's these languages? And Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh and I will show you signs in the heavens and on earth. And so that's where our vision comes from. That's the vision of the church of Jesus Christ. That's our vision here at Bethel. And then fresh mission, we talked about last week, why the church exists. And again, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he said, this Jesus of Nazareth whom you crucified, this Jesus who God sent and did miracles, this Jesus who rose again and was crucified and rose again, this Jesus who ascended to heaven, this same Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. And we told you that the mission of the early church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost and our mission can be summed up in one word. Come on, what's that one word? Say it with me. Come on. Jesus. Jesus. This Jesus. That's what Peter said. Listen, yes, the wind is wonderful, the fire, the language, all of those manifestations on the day of Pentecost, that's all part of the experience of what God wants. But the mission is about Jesus. Come on, read it with me from the thing, from your card. Our mission statement is Jesus. Come on, say it. Jesus has changed our lives with his love for God. All people and us as individuals, our family of spirit-filled believers exists to live in the power of Christ, learn to become like Christ, love like Christ, and love is the family of Christ, and lead others to Christ. Vision, fresh vision is who we are. Fresh mission is why we are. And then if you look at the back, it's fresh passion. And we introduced how we are to be as the church. And this is where we're focusing our study in this series. And in Acts chapter 2, how are we to be as the church? And what are we to be passionate about? What are we to value? And in Acts chapter 2, in verses 41 and then verse 42, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them 3,000 souls. The church was birthed. And as the church was birthed, then they committed themselves with great passion to 10 values. They continued steadfastly. They were passionately committed. And then he begins to list the 10 values that are on this card. These are the 10 values that God designed his church to be passionate about. These are the 10 values that we as a church and believers need to be passionate about. These 10 values, as we make them part of our life and part of our culture here at church, will bring a fresh encounter and fresh experiences with God, because these are the values that will cause our lives to be fresh and renewed in the presence of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we introduced last week the first one. They were continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We talked about last week that the first thing that the early church was passionate about and the first thing that we need to be steadfast and passionately committed to is sound doctrine. The first thing we need to make sure is that we preach and we stand for and we live by and we are committed to the truth of the Word of God. Sound doctrine. Now this morning I want to move to the second value, the second thing that the early church was passionate about and was committed to. And the second value that you and I as believers and as a church need to be passionately committed to, and that is fellowship. Come on, say that with me. Fellowship. Fellowship. Genuine fellowship. Hospitality. Genuine fellowship with God, with each other in the body of Christ, and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is genuine fellowship? How do we experience genuine fellowship? And why do we need genuine fellowship in our life? There's a story about a mother who was advising her young adult son about relationships. And she suggested to her son that he invite his new girlfriend over to his apartment for a home-cooked meal. The next day, he told his mother that the date didn't go very well. And the mother asked why. And the son said, because the girlfriend refused to cook. Listen, all of us want, all of us need relationship with God and with others. All of us want and need relationship and fellowship with God and one another. But how many know we want the others to do all the cooking? Oh, come on. Oh, we want relationships. We want meaningful and healthy relationships, but we want them to do it all. We want meaningful and healthy fellowship and genuine fellowship, but we want the onus to be on God and others. When fellowship is more than just a one-sided experience, what is genuine fellowship? What is genuine fellowship? How many know genuine fellowship is more than informal dinners and gatherings? How many know that? Now look, nothing wrong with informal dinners and gatherings and informal times in church and in our relationships in life. That's all important, but genuine fellowship is much more and much deeper. What the early church was committed to and what we need to be committed to is genuine fellowship. And the word fellowship comes in the word in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means communion, which means these four things. I really believe the meaning of the word koinonia and the meaning of the word fellowship can be summed up in these three aspects. When someone has a healthy relationship in genuine fellowship, it means there is spiritual connection. It means there is spiritual closeness. And it means that there is spiritual commitment to one another. Koinonia and fellowship and genuine fellowship with God and with others is not a casual thing. It's not something that's informal or casual with each other and with others. It's something that speaks of a deeper level of spiritual connection and closeness and commitment to God and to one another. As a matter of fact, I love Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I believe it gives us the biblical definitions. And in these two slides, as I put up this in the next slide, I want you to see there are four aspects that Paul talks to the church at Philippi about concerning what real fellowship is. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, as he was talking to the church. He said, here are the things that you need to share in commitment and connection and in closeness to each other, is being like-minded, having the same love, sharing one common purpose, doing nothing out of selfish ambitions, but rather in humility, valuing others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. You see, being of one mind, having the same love, sharing common purpose, valuing others is what will cause us to have healthy relationships and cause us to experience genuine fellowship with God and with one another. You see, healthy relationships and genuine fellowship, again, is not one-sided. It's not just about my needs being met and me feeling good. It's about what we mutually share and what we mutually do in relationship to being the same mind, sharing the same love and purpose, and then valuing the other person above ourselves. We want to improve our relationships this morning in life, not only with God and with each other, then be passionately committed to genuine fellowship, which says, I value you more than me. Wow. How many know that's so simple, so profound, and yet so foreign to the way our culture is today? Our culture today is all about, it's all about me. I, me, what I need, what I want. And if we really want to experience healthy relationship and we want to understand and have genuine fellowship in life, then we need to realize Everybody else can't do all the cooking. It's got to be a mutual connection spiritually. It's got to be a mutual closeness and a mutual commitment one to another. That's what real fellowship and genuine fellowship. See, it's on a deeper level than just casual and informal events and activities and things with one another. What is real fellowship? It's spiritual connection, spiritual closeness, spiritual commitment to God. Now, how do we experience this kind of genuine fellowship? How do we elevate our relationships to a healthy level? How do we develop in our relationship with God and others in our life in real, genuine fellowship? How do we develop this kind of connection spiritually? How do we develop a spiritual closeness and a commitment to God and each other in a greater way? Well, this morning I want to focus in on the first aspect, and over the next week or so we're going to look at a couple of different aspects, but the foundation of healthy relationships, the foundation of genuine fellowship in our life is that there has to be a mutual relationship with God through Jesus Christ. How many know if we're not connected and close and committed to God, it's hard to experience healthy relationship and genuine fellowship with other people? That's got to be the foundation of any kind of fellowship, any kind of relationship. If we want it to be at its healthiest and its highest level, then the foundation of that relationship needs to be that we mutually have a relationship with God. If my wife and I want our marriage to be on the highest level and want our relationship with each other to be healthy and on the highest level, how many know if the best way to build that kind of fellowship and relationship is to build it on a foundation where we mutually share the same relationship with God? On a foundation of spiritual connection to the same God, and a spiritual closeness to God, and a spiritual commitment to God. When we share that together, how many know that's a healthy foundation? And that's no matter what relationship we have in life, if you want it to be healthy, if you want it to reach higher levels and the highest levels, then it begins. Now, there are other aspects, and we'll look at them over the next couple of weeks. But this morning, the foundation of healthy relationships, the foundation of genuine fellowship is that there's a mutual relationship with God, and that relationship with God, how many know, can only happen through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to have a relationship with God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So if we want healthy relationships, if we want to have genuine fellowship in our life, we need to build it on the foundation of mutual relationship with God. Now, there are three biblical principles I want to leave with you this morning about mutual relationship with God and fellowship with God. Because the first level of genuine fellowship is fellowship with God. The first level that we need to experience is fellowship with God. That's the foundation of it. And so there's three principles. First of all, how many know God created us for fellowship with Him? And that's a very simple but important principle we need to understand. God created us for fellowship with Him. Genesis chapter 1, if we go back all the way to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. How many know when God created man, He created man with the same spirit, with the same connection of nature, of our natures. His nature He put in our nature. He created us in connection with Him, in closeness with Him, in commitment to Him and His Spirit. He said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. He made us and created us for fellowship. And then later on in Genesis 2 in verse 18, after God made Adam, He said, it's not good that man be alone. God didn't want Adam to be by himself and alone. Even though he could have relationship with God, Adam needed something more in his life. He needed other relationship in his life and fellowship. And so God made a woman. And the Bible says the two of them were joined. And don't you love God as a romantic? He gave away the first bride as He gave Eve to Adam. And the Bible says what? The two became one flesh, communion, fellowship, intimacy. Highest level of relationship, connection, closeness, and commitment. God created us for relationship. God created us for fellowship with Him and with each other. Then we see in Genesis 3 that God walked through the garden each day. And He communed and He fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. He came down to spend time with them. Think about it. The Almighty God came down and spent time hanging out with Adam and Eve in the garden. He created them for fellowship with Him. He said, yes, you can share relationship with each other and that will satisfy, but there's a higher level and only I can satisfy a relationship with me and you. And so God fellowshipped with Adam and Eve in the garden. He created us for fellowship. Look at what Ephesians 3 and 9 says, to make known, Paul says, my purpose as a minister is to make known to all men to see what fellowship of the mystery of salvation, which is from the beginning of creation, beginning of the world that was hidden God who created all things by Jesus Christ. In other words, God's design for creation and God's design for salvation is linked to relationship and fellowship. Everything God did in the creation and everything God did in His salvation that He sent in Jesus Christ was to bring us into right relationship and to bring us into genuine fellowship with Him and with each other. That was God's design. How many understand God did not design us for loneliness and emptiness? Oh, come on. God did not design us to be lonely. God did not design us to feel empty in life. God designed us for relationship. God designed us for fellowship. God created us. God brought salvation through Jesus Christ to bring man back to that original relationship and that original fellowship with God. Now listen, God, say this with me, God created me for relationship and fellowship with Him and with others. Now listen, despite that fact, how many know it's possible that you're here this morning, even though you were created by God for relationship and fellowship, it's possible this morning that you're here today and you feel all alone. It's possible today that even though God created you for relationship and fellowship, it's possible today that you feel isolated, you feel distant, you feel cut off even from God. Listen, the fact that God created all of us for relationship and fellowship, it's possible today that there are those of us today who have a void deep inside of us today. There's an emptiness. There's something missing, something lacking, something that's unfulfilled inside of us. God created us not for loneliness and emptiness, and yet there are times when we all feel alone. And there are times when we all feel empty, dissatisfied, unfulfilled. Now listen to me. You can have other significant relationships in your life. You can have a lot of friends. You can have a lot of people. You could be married. You can have children. You can have coworkers in your life. You can have lots of neighbors. You can have lots of activity in your life. You can have a lot of things going on and still feel lonely and empty on the inside. Even though God created us for relationship and fellowship. God created us. Now listen, if we feel this morning alone, if we feel empty, despite the fact that God created us for relationship and for fellowship, if we feel that today, listen, that doesn't make us bad. That doesn't make us even strange or weird. That doesn't make us even unique. Because all of us as human beings, even though God created us, for relationship and fellowship, all of us at some point and sometimes in our life will feel alone and we'll feel empty. And only true and right relationship with God and genuine fellowship with God will fill that deepest part of our life. That's why God created us, for relationship and for fellowship. And how many know the psalmist so humanly and so hopefully explains this to us? What does the psalmist say? Now, this is the psalmist David, a man after God's heart. A man who knew relationship and fellowship with God. Listen to the song. As the deer pants for the water brook, my soul. How many know there's a deep part of inside of every one of us? God created us with a soul, an inner spirit, an inner deep part of our spirit and life where only God can fulfill. Only God can fill that void. You see, God created us that way. He created us with a void and an emptiness that only He can fill. And the psalmist understood this and he cries out. He said, my soul pants for God. There's an inner part of me that's thirsty for the living God, not for dead stuff, not for mundane stuff, not for casual stuff, not for insignificant stuff, but my soul thirsts for something that's alive and real and revitalized. My soul thirsts for something relevant and real for my life. That's a classic picture of humanity. Even though we were created for relationship and fellowship, oftentimes we can relate to the psalmist who says, my tears are day and night. And I wonder, where's God? I even feel alone and distant from God. Where is He? If you've ever had a night like that, you can understand what the psalmist has experienced. And again, that doesn't make us bad. That doesn't make us strange. That doesn't make us unique. We all have had that. All of us understand that kind of thing. And he goes on to say, I even went with the multitude. I hung around with a lot of people. I even went to church. He says, I went to the house of God where there was praise and joy going on, and I still felt empty and alone. Wow. You can be around people. You can be even in church where people are around each other and talking and smiling and greeting each other, but down deep on the inside, there's a loneliness and there's an emptiness. The psalmist goes on to say, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why do you feel this way? Sometimes we don't even know why we feel that way. He says, hope in God. Find your hope in God. Find your relationship and your fellowship in God. The help of my life. Deep calls to deep. In other words, there's a deep part in us that's crying out for something deep with God that only the two connecting can match up and can make fulfilled. How many know no matter how much we try to find fulfillment, and we try to find healthiness in our relationships in other arenas until we connect to God on a deep level of relationship and fellowship, we'll never be totally satisfied and fulfilled. Because God created us with a deep need for Him. Why have you forgotten me? Why are you cast down? Hope in God, the health of my countenance. Find your hope in God, who can be the help of our countenance and the health of our countenance. Today, we need to understand that God created us for relationship and fellowship with Him. God created us to be in communion and closeness, connection and commitment to Him. And only through Jesus Christ, only through a mutual relationship together with Jesus Christ, can we find that true level of healthiness and the true highest level of relationship where we are can find our fullness even in the Lord. We were created for relationship and fellowship. The second principle I want to talk to you about today is that not only did God create us for fellowship, but God challenged us about fellowship. Since God created us for fellowship, He needed to give us some instruction about fellowship. And it's interesting what God said. Remember what He did? He created man in His image. He said, Adam, you don't need to be alone. I'm going to give you Eve. And then He had them in the garden and He had a place of fellowship. And then notice what God did. He said, I got some rules concerning our fellowship. I've got some warning. He commanded them. It wasn't optional. It was a commandment. You can eat of every tree in the garden except one. How many know as soon as he singled out the one, how many know that's exactly where they went? You can have anything and everything you want. But here's the rule. If you want to stay in healthy relationship, if you want to stay in genuine fellowship with God, we can enjoy all the good things God has given us in life. And how many know God wants us to enjoy life? And God wants us to enjoy all the good things he created. How many know, but how many know God has some exceptions? Oh, come on. How many goes, God says, listen, if you really want healthy relationships and you really want genuine fellowship with God and with each other, listen, enjoy all the good things I bless you with, but there are some warnings and there's some things that I want you to stay away from. Because those things will destroy your relationship. Those things will cause separation, not connection and closeness. These things will cause, so he said, you can have any tree you want except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And how many know Adam and Eve, because they disobeyed God's word and God's warning, they broke separation. It broke relationship. It broke fellowship with God. And the Bible says they were sent out of the garden and they were away from the presence of God. Listen, when we disobey God's word and warnings, and when we don't follow God's plan and his instruction concerning relationship and fellowship, how many understand it will cause separation and it will cause brokenness? And we need to understand, and yes, God heals, and God saves, and God forgives, and God brought Adam and Eve, covered Adam and Eve of their sin, and he brought restoration to them. And listen, God can do that as well, but God challenges us that there are things that can cause separation and brokenness in our relationships and in our fellowship if we don't follow his word and his will. Listen, enjoy all of the things God has blessed us, but be careful about things that are evil. Come on, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many know there are things in our world today that are just evil? And they will, and when we, and listen, God doesn't say in his word certain things are evil and things we should stay away from. And God's rules and God's laws are not for our restriction, they're for our protection. Listen, a good father would only make rules and set boundaries in things in life, not to restrict kids, but to protect them. And that's what God did. He set up some boundaries. He said, listen, I created you for fellowship. I created you to be close with me. I created you to be connected to me. I created you to be in fellowship and relationship with me. I created you that way. I created you with a deep void that only I can fill in your life. But I also want to challenge you that there's evil and there are things that seem good that you need to stay away from. Because if you don't, they'll cause separation and brokenness. God doesn't want us to have any more pain in life than we need to. And listen, when there's separation in life and there's brokenness in relationships, it causes pain. Come on, we've all felt it. We've all been in those situations where there's been pain. We know what's evil. We know what fruit hangs on the tree of evil for other people. Oh, come on. What we do, we've got to, it's not really that bad what I do. Oh, but them, oh, geez. My goodness, they better get their act together. But me, it's not really that bad. It's not a big deal. Listen, there's fruit that hang on the trees of life, on the tree of life, that are evil. And when we taste of them, and we indulge in them, they will cause brokenness. I don't have to make a list. You know what they are. You know what brings destruction and brokenness. But listen, not only was the tree have fruit of evil, but the tree had fruit of good. Oh boy. How many know there's some things on the tree of life that seems good, that in some ways is good? God may have even created it good, but if it gets out of control or we abuse it or don't treat it and handle it the right way, it can actually be bad for us. How many know that? How many know there's some fruit that we're not supposed to taste of because it'll break relationship and cause separation and brokenness with God and with others? And the desire for money and the desire to accumulate money becomes greed, then it's out of control, and that's a fruit that will cause separation. You can't serve God and money or mammon. How about, can you say this word in church? Sex? Oh, come on, I can. It's a big boy school. How many know sex is a good thing? Listen to me, God created it. Adam and Eve ran around in the garden naked and they weren't ashamed. Yay, God, I like that kind of God. But how many know he made rules and he set boundaries? He said, listen, I created the most wonderful thing you'll ever experience, intimacy and sexual intimacy on a human level. But he said, when you do it out of the context of marriage, or you do it out of the context of the way I designed it, or you pervert it and take it to levels it's not supposed to be, then it will cause brokenness and separation. That fruit hangs on the tree of life, alongside of evil. Oh boy. Alongside of evil are some of these good things, good fruits, that hang on the tree that God said, I'm challenging you to avoid those things because they'll cause brokenness. I'm here to protect you, not to restrict you. How about ambition? Good thing. We should want to get ahead, should desire to move forward again. But how many know when that becomes pride, then it's out of control? How about confidence? Nothing wrong with being confident and feeling good about yourself. Listen, but when that becomes arrogance, it's out of control. How about desire? Is it wrong to desire things and want things? No, but when those desires become lusts, out of control, it's fruit that hangs from the tree that God challenges us. See, God created us for fellowship, but then he challenged us about fellowship. That there are things that we need to avoid because they'll cause brokenness and they'll cause separation. Look at what the Bible says, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Some of us know some people that we shouldn't have fellowship with. Come on. Now when we talk about fellowship, we're talking about closeness and connect. Be respectful to all people, but don't be too close and on a close, intimate level and connection and commitment to those that are involved with things that are not of God. Come on now. If we don't heed God's warning, what happens is it causes brokenness and pain and separation, which God never intended us to have. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, there's the fruit that hangs on the tree that we talked about. Don't be involved in those things. They cause pain and brokenness. 1 Corinthians 6 and 14, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? What communion does light have with darkness? What concord, all synonyms for fellowship, concord does Christ have with Satan? What agreement does the temple of God have with that? God wants us and warns us that he doesn't want us to have undue pain and hurt and brokenness. And he tells, now listen, that doesn't mean, listen to me carefully, that doesn't mean if you're married to someone who is not a believer, that doesn't mean you divorce them tomorrow. How many heard me say that? Come on, how many heard me say that? That means you pray and you believe God and you do everything you can in that relationship to be a light and believe that they'll come to the Lord and so forth. But how many know if you're in a relationship that's not committed on that level, and you're involved in a friendship, or you're dating someone, or you're in a relationship with, or you're friends, and your best friend doesn't share the same values, doesn't share the same mutual relationship with God, doesn't care about spiritual things that you did, then you need to separate yourself from that. Because it's better to be separated from that than to be separated from God. How can you, if you say the most important relationship in your life is Jesus Christ, how can you then share that, your most important relationship, with people who don't share that with Jesus Christ? How can that be? And you say, Pastor, that's kind of narrow and kind of rough, but listen. God puts those restrictions not for us to be restricted, but for us to be protected. Listen, I can tell you from firsthand experience. My father was a believer. And I don't know if many of you know this. I don't even know if my kids know this. My father was brought up in a strong Christian home all of his life, a believer. And when he dated my mother and he decided to date my mother, she was not a believer. And listen, you say, whoa, it worked out. He pastored, and my mother became a believer, and now her son's a pastor, and it worked out. Yes, but if you talk to my dad and my mother, they'll tell you it wasn't without great pain and without great brokenness and years of overcoming things and working through things until my mother came in the same mutual relationship with God. Now again, I'm not telling you to separate from that. I'm telling you, it can work and God can help you. But if you're not in that level, don't go that way. Mutual relationship with God has to be the foundation. Be respectful to all people, but be selective who you hang with. Oh, come on. All my best friends, all the people I know, and yet none of them are believers. That's trouble. That's dangerous. Be careful who you hang with. Be careful who you confide in, who you tell the deepest parts of your life. Be careful who you come in contracts with and commitments with. Because it will cause brokenness. Ask people who've been down that road some of the pain. Now look, God can overcome it. And yes, things can work out. And yes, God can forgive and can restore and can help. I get it. I understand it. And that's powerful and that's true. But God also puts that there to warn us and to protect us from anything that isn't of Him. Listen, that which you have seen and heard and declared unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father through Jesus Christ. If we really want to have fellowship with anybody in our life, it starts by having fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Mutual relationship. Now he goes on to say, if we say we have fellowship with God, but we walk in darkness, we grabbing and living off of the fruit of the tree of evil and what seems good, then we're lying to ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Listen, if we have tasted of the fruit and we have had some brokenness and some pain and some separation in our life, how many know God can cleanse and forgive anything? You say, but you don't understand. I had this bad experience, or I had this relationship, and it was broke off, and this happened, and you don't understand. Listen, if we confess our sin, the Bible says, but let's make sure if we say we have fellowship with God, that we make sure we don't walk in darkness and we don't taste of the fruit of good and evil. The last thing, and I'll just take a few moments with this, is God called us to fellowship. He created us for fellowship. He challenges us and warns us about fellowship. But then he calls us to fellowship. How many know God's greatest desire is for you to have relationship with him today? God's greatest desire is for you to be in right relationship with him. God's greatest desire is for you to be in genuine fellowship with him. Nothing would make God happier than you and him come to a place where there's spiritual connection, spiritual closeness, and a spiritual commitment in relationship. That's what God wants for your life. And how many know, listen to what God said. God is faithful who has called us unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. God is calling us. God is desiring us. God wants us, above everything else, to have relationship with him through his Son, Jesus. And how many know God wants us to desire as much of his desire what he wants? How many know it has to be mutual, though? How many know God wants us to be in a relationship, but how many know it has to be mutual? We have to want it, too. Oh, come on. How many know it takes two to have a relationship? It takes two to have genuine fellowship. And if God wants it, then how many know we have to want it? And I love what the Apostle Paul said, that I might know him. And that word know is talking about an intimacy, a relationship, and genuine fellowship. He says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship. Paul is saying, look, God wants me to be in relationship and fellowship, and I want it too. How many know that's when it works? When we want what God wants. And what God wants is for you to be close to him today. What God wants is for you to be connected to him today. What God wants is for you to be committed to him today. And so this morning I close with this question. How many know that's the same question God asked Adam and Eve in the garden when they broke fellowship? Where are you? Could you imagine God walking through the garden? Adam, Eve, where are you? Now, how many know God didn't lose them? How many know God knew exactly where they were? Why did God ask? Not because he didn't know where they were, because he wanted them to know where they were. He wanted them to understand, listen, God made us with this beautiful garden to have a relationship, and here we are broken. Here we are separated. Here we are hurting when that's not what God wanted. And I believe God's asking the same question today. Where are you? Where are you? God knows where you're at. But do you know where you're at? Do you know where you are today? A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, old school, makes this simple but profound statement that as I reread it in one of his books not too long ago, just jumped out at me. Every person is as close to God as they want to be. How many know that's so simple and yet profound? Think about it. I have people say to me, oh, I wish I was closer to God. I want to be closer to God. How many know we're as close to God as we really want to be? Oh, come on. If I say I want to be close to my wife or I want to be close to some to you, how many know I can't say I really want to be close to you if I don't spend any time with you? Oh, come on. We can't say we want to be close to God and we don't spend any time with him in prayer and in the word. I mean, I can't say I want to be close to my wife or I want to be close to you if I don't hang out where you hang out. If I don't hang out at home, how many know I can't say I want to be close to her if she's at home? Can't say we want to be close to God if we don't hang out at his house. If I say I want to be close to my wife and I don't care about what she thinks or what she desires or what she's passionate about, if I don't care about what she likes to do, not just what I like to do, well, come on. Every one of us is as close to God as we want to be today. So the question is, do we want what God wants? He wants to be close to us. He's created us for fellowship. He's commanded, he's challenged us for, and he is calling us today to be close to him, to be connected to him, to be in relationship with him, and to be committed to him. One last scripture, and then I'm going to tell you one story, and I'm finished. You could say amen. John 15:1 says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Abide in me and I in you as the branch can never bear fruit of its own. Without me, you could do nothing. How many know if we're not connected to God through Jesus, we've got to stay connected. How many get frustrated when your Wi-Fi gets disconnected? Oh, come on. You're working on something and all of a sudden, got no internet. It's a tragedy. The whole world stops. We lose connection. You're watching TV and the cable goes out. Ah. How many know we've got to stay connected to God? How many know He's the only life source? He's the vine. We're the branches. If the branch doesn't stay connected, the Bible says it withers away. If a branch isn't connected to the source, if a branch falls off a tree and it's not connected anymore, how many know that branch will die? And when we don't stay connected to God and to the life source of Jesus Christ, we don't stay in relationship and fellowship with God, we'll wither and die. Let me just tell you a story. Many of you know, in the 30 years I've been pastoring, I've spent a lot of time in hospitals. And I got to say, I've had a lot of good ministry in hospitals, despite it's a difficult time for people. I've had a lot of ministry in hospitals and spent a lot of time there. And by the way, I'm thankful for Pastor Tammy, who's taken a lot of that load from me so I can put my attention into other things. And don't be surprised if she comes to the hospital instead of me. Oh, boy. Be nice. But I got true confession this morning about something when I went to the hospital one time many years ago. I went to visit one of the men in the church. Now, he's since passed away, and I know he gave me permission to tell this because we laugh about it to this day. I got to have true confession. While I've had a lot of good experiences in hospitals and been pretty professional and pastoral in hospitals, one particular day, I've got a true confession this morning. One particular day, I went to visit this gentleman in the hospital. He was in the ICU area, and he was on a ventilator. Now, he was alert, and he was awake, and when I walked into the room, his eyes would light up, and he would open his eyes, and he would nod, and he acknowledged that I was there. And he had this, you know, tube from thing connected from his body into this breathing machine. And so that particular day, I walked in, and he lit up, and he was happy to see me, and he nodded. And I walked over, and I went close to the bed, and I said, "Would you like me to pray?" And he nodded, And just before I prayed, I noticed as I drew close to prayer, I noticed all of a sudden he started turning colors. And all of a sudden he started gasping, and all of a sudden he was agitated, and he was getting red. He was trying to tell me something. I'm thinking, oh boy, if I better call the nurse, something's happening. He's gonna die. You know, all of a sudden, and then I noticed when I stepped forward to get close to the bed, I was standing on his tube. Now, listen, to the day he died, we laughed about that because he made it. Thank God. I'm telling you, this is true confession. I was so embarrassed. I was so mortified that I actually had, I was choking off his life source. Here I am standing there nice and spiritual, ready to pray. And he's... honestly, like I said, to the day he died, we laughed about it. I even mentioned it at his funeral. Here's my point. We can't let things separate us from God and the life source. If we're not connected to God through Jesus Christ, it's like someone standing on our air tube. Oh, come on. And that someone could be evil thing, a good thing, seemingly good thing. There can be things in our life that could be choking us off from the very life source that God wants us to have. And listen, if we don't abide in Him, if we don't stay in close relationship and fellowship with Him, we'll wither and we'll die because we don't stay connected to the source. Bow your head with me. We're going to pray. Let me ask you, where are you? Where are you today?